We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
I was more of a Jackson 5 fan myself.
Oh, sure.
You heard of that.
Yes. 799-1250. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. We're talking about tonight's game. Possibly a, well, for sure, well, maybe. You know, it could be series-defining, could be season-defining, could be franchise-defining. The game tonight between the Bucks and Toronto. As Chuck Freeman's live in Canada, I'm Bart Winkler in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Ryan Horvath's alongside, and you can chime in again at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and also via the phones, 414-799-1250. I think that while I am confident that the series still remains Bucks in five. The Bucks are an amazingly good team. The two times they've lost in the playoffs, I wouldn't say overreacted, but I've been more apprehensive. I just get a little nervous. And instead of coming on the radio with you and saying they will win this game, they will and here's my take, and this is, I feel like I've taken more of a trying to talk through my feelings approach. And I think that what I'm thinking about tonight is, obviously, if the Bucks win tonight, this series is going to go as I thought it would, and they'll come back on Thursday night and win game five at home. I am worried that if they lose tonight, they could be in trouble. So I'm worried that I'm not going to go as far as a hot take and say whoever wins this game tonight wins the series, but I am worried that if the Raptors win tonight, that will make three of the four games where really they should have won. I mean, they should have won game three and they did. They probably should have won game one and they didn't. So the Raptors, despite them not being the better team, maybe playing better basketball. And we've been saying if the Bucks lose this series, it's not going to be because Toronto beat them. It's going to be because the Bucks lost. And that's what they did in game three. The Bucks lost. So I guess I'm cautiously optimistic is where I'll go, because I do think they'll win tonight. I don't want to know what happens if they lose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I kind of follow you there. I just think if Toronto wins, the Bucks are a better team. And the Bucks would have to play poor. I think the Bucks would have to play poorly in four games to lose this series. They would have to play poorly because the Bucks are a better team. You know, I mean, you got the two stars in the team, but I think as you trickle down, you know, those guys, I mean, if those guys have another night like they did on Sunday night, then the Bucks are in trouble. But I don't forecast that happening. You know, Eric Bledsoe, I like to think he's going to be better than he was the other night. Chris Middleton certainly can't do that again. And, you know, I thought Lopez played well the other night. You know, even Mirotic didn't play well. You know, he made one three-pointer, I think it was. I got to pull up the box score here. Yeah, I know he's 3 of 11 overall. Yeah, 1 of 7 from three-point lane. But, you know, but on the other end, can Malcolm Brogdon and George Hill play as well as they did the other night? Will they be able to carry that over? Because you have to think Brogdon and Hill won't play as well. Maybe Brogdon will. I don't certainly think Hill can play, shoot as well as he did the other night. 7 of 9 from the field, 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. And, you know, he grabbed a few rebounds as well. But those guys, the big three for the Bucks, all three are not going to tank it again tonight.
Lowry was asked about the Bucks, and, well, don't you think that they're going to play better? And he said, well, we can play better. I mean, we didn't play our best game either. And, there, you know, there's some Raptors on that team, and Lowry's one of them that can play better. So you can get better performances out of the Bucks for sure. but you can also get better performances out of Toronto. I think that I just don't want to take tonight for granted. I just don't want to say, all right, it's happened. They lose and then they win, and the Bucks are going to go out there and get this victory, and they're going to go into a road environment and beat up on a really good team. I think that Toronto deserves a little more respect than that. They're the team that I've been worried about this entire time. While I do think the Bucks will win tonight, I don't want to be overconfident about it, and I don't want to count my eggs before they hatch.
Although when you pick them in five games, that just shows you're pretty confident that the Bucks are going to win the series.
What I'm doing there is just going by, you know, logic. Logically, the Bucks are good at home. They win those two games. Toronto wins game three, and then the Bucks respond after they lose. Again, there's only been one time this entire season, all the way through the regular season, where they lost after a loss. And I think the Bucks are very good at responding. One of the best teams that I've ever seen do that. And, you know, Giannis, you can say, well, he's going to have a big night and Middleton's going to respond and these guys wear that one and want to shake it off. And I believe all that stuff. I just don't want to count the eggs before they hatch.
No, and nobody should. Even the games at home, don't count them in. Friday night's game, you know, they blew them out. I didn't count that as a win. You know, I was thinking they were going to win. I didn't count it. The game one victory that they played poorly in and ended up winning by 8 points. No, I don't think anybody should take any of these games for granted. Like, even if they win tonight, and the percentages are that they are going to win the Eastern Conference title, don't take it for granted, man. Don't at all take it for granted that they're going to automatically win on Wednesday and the series is over. So they're going to take a huge step if they win tonight, but don't automatically think it's over just because they win tonight. But first things first, got to get tonight's win. I think that's why it's the most pivotal, the biggest game, one of the biggest games in Bucks history tonight, if they could bounce back and have a good performance and win the game. I don't expect them to win by 15. Just come out here tonight and play well and win and get Toronto's best shot. I'm sure they'll get it.
Vegas certainly thinks the Bucks will win this series. They're minus 650, which again means to win $100, you got to lay 650 down. Mm-hmm. The Raptors are 5-1 plus 500, so lay down 100, win 500. So the Bucks have obviously much better odds to win the NBA Finals or to get to the NBA Finals. The NBA Final odds as of yesterday, Golden State was 1-2 odds, and the Bucks were 2-1. So far, as long as the Bucks get there, Vegas will give them a pretty decent chance to at least make that series interesting and make it competitive. Again, if the Bucks can get through Toronto. Mike's in Franklin, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. That's what us talking heads think. How about you guys? Mike, what's up?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. I still got the Bucks in five. I think they, like you already said, bounce back usually after a loss. And I also think they've got enough veterans on the team to kind of calm the rest of the team down, such as a George Hill. And I actually want to see him get more floor time over Bledsoe. I don't hate Bledsoe. I'm not a pro or against Bledsoe guy, but George Hill has been hitting the three consistently. He's been D-ing people up, and he's been just a really, really good, solid player since we acquired him. So I want to see him get more time because that guy's a big-time player in these kind of games based on the fact that he's got a really good track record in the playoffs already.
Although George Hill played 36 minutes the other night, you can't expect many more minutes than that. I mean, at this point of his career, he's not going to go out there and get you 48.
Are you looking for a lineup change tonight?
Do I want a lineup change?
Do you want Brogdon in there instead of Mirotić?
No. And I don't think they're going to do that, at least for tonight. You know, I like Mirotić. I like Brogdon too. They're each going to play. Brogdon played more than Mirotić the other night. He did. Even though Brogdon was coming off the bench, he played seven more minutes than Mirotić. So I've never really been a guy about who starts. I've never really have been. It's like, because it all washes out in an NBA game anyway. In the fourth quarter and the third quarter, you kind of are mixing and matching guys anyway, and you don't know who started and who's coming off the bench. You're just kind of, you know, it's a combination of guys. It's not like, you know, in a third quarter or a fourth quarter, he's going to go with the starters. He's going to go with the right combination. He's going to go with, you know, Brogdon was in there in the fourth quarter. He was in there in crunch time. He was playing well. He was in there crunch time. So, and in Hill, he was playing well. I think what Coach Bud will do here, if Hill is rolling and he's playing well, he'll stick with him over Brogdon, or he'll stick with him over Bledsoe. I think that's just the way he'll play it out, or over Mirotić. He'll play his best hand and his best combination. Bud's a smart guy, man. He's a smart guy, and there's not too many things we could question with him, what he's done this year. So, you know, not once, I don't think, this year we've ever said, oh, Coach Bud got outcoached by the other guy.
Budenholzer was asked about that yesterday. He said he does like Brogdon and Hill off the bench, is thinking about it, is mulling over the decision to start Brogdon, but what he told the media was that he's inclined to just go with what's been working, and that is the starting lineup with Mirotić in it. You can guys, you can give us your thoughts at 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter, 414-799-1250. Mario on the north side, how you been?
Hey guys, how's it going, man? I haven't called in a
while. Hey Mario.
Yeah, what's up?
Man, I had to call, man. I'm listening to this kind of lukewarm, wishy-washy Bucks support, man, and it's making me sick. Listen, this team, the Bucks, they've been the best team all year. And here, this is what you got to think about. As well as Toronto played in the game the other night, if Giannis just reaches his average points per game, normal average, the Bucks still would have won that game. So I got to believe Giannis is going to have a monster game. I think Middleton is also going to bounce back. And even Bledsoe is going to show up. And I think the Bucks are just going to manhandle these guys tonight and come back in game five and finish them off. The Toronto gave everything they had to win that one game, but it's 3-1 tonight, and then it's over in game five. You can book that, guys.
And that's what the Bucks are counting on, too.
See
you,
Mario.
Bucks are counting on, too. There's a couple of guys for the Raptors who played horribly the other night, too. Fred VanVleet was awful. Ibaka wasn't very good. And Danny Green, who was in the starting lineup, he stunk, too. So those are three guys right there who were missing in action in game three for the Raptors.
Yeah, I know. I feel good about it. I think everybody's saying the same thing. And it's all, the Bucks are going to bounce back. It took two overtimes to beat us. They still got the victory. And if they get the victory tonight, that's two. I'm just being a little cautious.
Oh, we should all. I'm walking over to Tim Hortons yesterday afternoon to get me some.
The Perkins of the North.
Yes. This is the first time I ever been at Tim Hortons. It must have been a miniature one because it was really small in there. Mm. It must have been a convenience size store of Tim Hortons. I was walking back from this Texas Roadhouse, or you know, where do you go to get Texas food? Do you go fajitas? You go to Canada.
You went to Canada and went to a Texas Roadhouse?
It was called like Lone Star, so it must be the same thing.
Okay.
It's just like, see, I'm out here by the airport where there's not a lot out here. It's just hotels, and you have to, you know, walk to get to any place. So this was like the closest thing. I still had to walk like six blocks, but I passed a Tim Hortons along the way. They got me some sodas on the way back. Mm. So I stayed away from the donuts. But as I was walking there, making that six-block walk, I'm just like you. I'm nervous about tonight. Feel good about the Bucks. Feel they're a better team. But there's an unknown because they're going to have to win in a tough environment. And that crowd is going to be, you know, the crowd is going to be in it again tonight. And, you know, the Bucks are going to have to respond for many reasons. They lost the other night, but for those reasons, you like to think they're going to turn it around and take care of business tonight.
Let me read some tweets that are coming in at 105.7 FM The Fan. Ron says, go ahead and count the eggs, just don't count the chickens until they hatch. So I keep saying I'm not going to count the eggs before they hatch. The actual phrase is don't count your chickens before they hatch. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can count the eggs. The eggs are there. Tony says, Canada, did Canada give you a lisp, Freems? What the hell?
Does it sound like I have a lisp?
I didn't pick up on it.
Yeah. If it's that, it's probably lack of sleep. No lisp here. Never been accused of having a lisp.
We should, wrong.
And network. I haven't had a little bit to drink yet this morning.
We should, let's get a good tweet. Here's one from Melissa. I found your guys' show at the start of the playoffs. You guys are the best morning show. However, I feel like our season is on the line tonight. Go Bucks. That's from Melissa.
She's got it right.
She's got it right on all points.
Al is right.
On all points. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart. That is Chuck. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. More from the Bucks in their comments as they look forward to Game 4. We do as well. And I need to play go-to sports radio topic with you on something, Chuck. Because I was thinking about Giannis and a little thing we call the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I'd like to play a little go-to sports radio talk with you.
When you had that little laugh, that means I think I'm anticipating you're not too confident or something?
No, I'm confident. I just, you know, I hate the Mount Rushmore thing as much as anybody, but I want to ask you a question related to the Mount Rushmore of the Bucks.
Okay.
So we'll get to that next. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. Our best Bucks coverage, presented by Hupie and Abraham, the Q Club of Wisconsin, and Robert Hack Diamonds. If Milwaukee wins the title, your jewelry is free. Shop by May 25th. Robert Hack Diamonds in Greenfield, Glendale, and roberthackdiamonds.com. So if you buy jewelry from now until May 25th, and I think it's up to $5,000 worth of jewelry at Robert Hack, and Milwaukee wins the title, you get it for free. That's a pretty big undertaking for them.
It is. That's a lot of money. And that's a lot of high hopes there.
Yeah.
But, that's spending some money, man. That's putting your business on the line.
So would you do that? Are you confident enough Milwaukee's going to win the title that you're going to go buy your girlfriend a bracelet or ring, whatever 50-year-olds buy each other?
We're not any different than 35-year-olds.
I don't think I've ever
Do you think we buy each other? Depends. what's your perception of a 50-year-old?
No, I just don't know if like jewelry's still a thing.
What? Are you serious?
Well, there's got to be a certain point where jewelry, when you're like 100 years old, that you're like, I don't need a new bracelet.
Well, when you're 100 years old, but when you're 50, you know, you're still living.
Yeah, no, so I don't know if
you know, I'm still going out.
I just don't know what kind of jewelry you
go
buy
out.
At that
we
age.
Go to bars, we still drink, we have fun, we go to games, you know, we do the normal things.
Yeah, no, you're more active than I am. I know that.
But I'm just saying, we still do the same. But a lot of guys and girls, I think, my age, I mean, I don't think that. Yeah, I think you
but is it like a necklace? Decrepit. Is it a ring? Is it like what's the
same thing as you guys? We're not any different. We're not any different than a 35-year-old. I mean, it's just 15 years removed. Ring, necklace, whatever. Girls in their early 50s are still getting after it, still working out, still looking good. You know, I mean, still dressing well. You know, not wearing muumuus. They still are, you know, on top of the world, man. They're out there, 50-year-old women are still out there kicking, late 40s, up, you know, they're still out there kicking ass. They are. They're kicking ass. Oh, they are. They are. I mean, there's a number of them that are.
No, I know.
Chuck,
I
mean, knows how to treat a lady.
I mean, admittedly, there's some, you know, who've mailed it in, okay? But there's some 35-year-old women who have mailed it in, too.
Yeah, yeah. Couple of tweets here. Todd says, I find it odd that Bart has completely changed his tone on the Bucks.
Little. I think a little you have. You were just stumping for them all season long. And not, you know, you're not, but I think you're a little fearful at this point. I've not detected a fearful tone in your voice until this morning. You've kind of taken me a little bit.
The way that I feel is I've been very confident about the Bucks. Very confident. Very, very confident. I look at any tweet of mine in the last year. I said the Bucks finals. Very confident. I think they're a very good team. I still don't think we realize how good of a team they are. I also feel that Toronto's a pretty good team too. I just what I'm seeing is instead of me saying like, "Oh, Giannis, you know he'll bounce back." Oh, Giannis, the Bucks don't lose after a loss. Now I'm seeing everybody else say that because normally I'd say it took them 2 overtimes just to beat us on our worst night. But now everybody else is saying that, and I think everybody else's confidence is making me nervous.
You're getting swayed. Instead of you got to go with what you believe in. If you believe still that they're going to win it in 5 games, Don't let anybody sway you.
I believe they'll win tonight.
I still think.
I don't think it's going to be as easy as.
No, but we knew that. At least I did. You knew going in, wasn't going to be easy. They ain't going to roll over these teams. I mean, we kind of joked about it, you know, winning the series in 3.5 games, but you know, we're joking about it. It's just, you know, Toronto's going to win a game or two in this series. I feel confident the Bucks are going to win this series. Even if they lose tonight, I still feel good about their chances. Hey, you've said all season long yourself, you know, nearly every show we've done, I don't see a team beating the Bucks 4 out of 7 times. So you got to stick with that. You still believe that?
I still do believe that.
I don't see any way
that the Bucks lose the series.
No, I mean, if they lose tonight.
I'm just saying it's different to hear everybody else say. I mean, everyone's saying the same thing. It took 2 overtimes. I know, but dude, they still won that game. Like, that didn't count as a win for us.
I know.
We still lost that game.
Yeah.
You need 4.
But you know, you said the Bucks were going to win in 5. That means you thought Toronto was going to win a game. So
I did. They won. I did. I just
they,
you know
they won
these,
a game here.
These series they mess with your brain.
Yeah.
These series are back and forth, and they mess with you.
I got the Bucks in 6, and I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto won again. Could be tonight. They win tonight. Yeah, we're all going to be edgy going into Thursday's game. But I still feel good about the Bucks' chances. I think the Bucks feel good about their chances too.
Yeah, no, I do too. I think that they're going to be focused and go out there and get the win. I'm not going to go Sharpie it right now quite yet. They still got to play it tonight. And Toronto's going to come out hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto, you know, even Portland down 3-0 last night, they still gave it their all. Well, except for
Lillard. I wasn't surprised. Wasn't surprised Toronto gave it his all. I mean, Portland, even in game 3. You know, God, they had big leads in the last 3 games of that series and blew it. But, hey, I figured Portland was going to give a fight, but I thought Golden State would win the series. There was no doubt they were heavy favorites. And, you know, Golden State's just in a different class than Portland. But now about the Warriors. They will have game 1 of the NBA Finals won't be until a week from Thursday. So look at all the time off they're going to have between games.
9 days.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
You can go on a European vacation to be back in time for your game.
We'll talk more about the Bucks. Jim Paschke, 9 o'clock, some tweets. Dustin says, I feel like the Bucks went the whole year bouncing back and not losing stretches of games. The Raptors beating the Bucks 3 of the next 4 would be insanity. Hashtag Bucks in 5. I'm with you on that. Zach says, love the show, but Bart acting like he's young at age 35 is getting pretty cringeworthy. No, Zach. I'm not acting young. I'm not young in any way. I am an old man. I'm surprised I'm still alive. I don't do anything young.
No,
I don't know any hip words. I don't know any of the Billboard Music Award people. I don't know anything. I'm not young. But 50 is old, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but see, I think that's where you're wrong. 50 is not old. 50 is not old, you know. I mean, 50. I mean, this. I think you're. And when you get 50, you're going to realize. I mean, you might feel like you're old at 35.
I feel terribly old.
Yeah, well, 50's not.
I'm out of breath going up the stairs.
So when do you think people start getting old?
I just think you're older than me.
Yeah, but 50's. I mean, do you look at me as like an old man?
Let's get to Dave. In Caledonia.
Boy, I'm sure some of our listeners just want to kill you for saying that.
I'm not saying anything.
You're definitely saying 50 is old.
What's up, Dave?
My Fond du Lacians.
Oh, Dave. Dave from Fondy. Dave.
Hey, I could just listen to you guys. I'll just sit down here. You know when you're old is when you play 30 years plus in a sport and you've had 6 knee surgeries, shoulder surgeries, ankle surgeries, and you go out with a bunch of kids that used to dominate, and in 5 minutes, you're on a sideline drinking a beer, waiting for the next day, your heart's racing, and hoping that there was a medic on a sideline. That's when you're feeling old.
That's when you should give up that sport, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, that's just try golf or something.
It's in the love. You know what, Chuck? I want to golf. I've got so many friends at Final Act that golf. And it's tough to get out there. I want to get out to Whispering. I've been out to Whispering Springs a couple of times, but I'm terrible at it. And as soon as I get a little good at it, I really do want to jump into it. But I get upset when I'm not good at a sport.
Well, so, I always tell this to people, and this is what's frustrating about golf. you need to go out there and you need to almost make it like a part-time job and really work at it and give it some time. You know, it's like a relationship. If you don't devote time to a relationship, you know, you're not going to have one. And well, if you don't devote time to golf, you're not going to have a golf game.
I'm going to take that advice because I do. I really want to get into it because when you get to my age and you put on all that weight, you can't play the game you love anymore. You got to find something. Because sitting at home on the couch with the wife looking at her is not, you know, as exciting as it
used to be. That's my favorite thing that I do.
What's that?
Yeah, but you're still young in your marriage, Bart.
6 years.
That's young.
Yeah, but you've spent the total of a year together. Do you spend any time with her, Bart? I mean, is she upstairs and you were downstairs? Do you spend any time together with her?
No, we watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine last night, and then we, like, talked about stuff.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, you're still kind of honeymooning, but, don't get me wrong. I love my wife. It's just 20 years. It's a long time. But, hey, I want to get I just want to mention one thing about the Bucks. You know, I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I was going to call in, and I heard you today, Bart. That's my thing, is I'm so sick of everybody. Oh, the series is over. It's okay. Everybody's going to bounce back. Everybody's going to play their game. They'll never shoot like that again. And there's times where you feel that way. You absolutely do, because you know what the Bucks are capable of doing. The problem I have, okay, let's not put the cart before the horse, but I'm going to do it for a second. If we do go on to the finals, which everybody's thinking we're going to, and I do too, we can't have these games against Golden State. You know, everybody's so excited about, oh, we're just going to stomp Toronto. How excited are we if we play like this against Golden State and we're done in, I don't know, 4 or 5? I just can't see us laying eggs the way we have against Boston in Game 1, against Toronto in Game 1 and Game 3, and having any kind of chance against Golden State. So if everybody's so confident in Toronto, enjoy the series, because if the Bucks play like this against Golden State, it's a wrap.
At the same time, Golden State can't do what they did against Portland and get away with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks might just crush them. You know, if Golden State gets down by 16 in the third quarter, that they're not going to fall into those type of holes. So you can look at it conversely. As much as the Bucks can't play poorly against the Warriors, if the Bucks get that far, Golden State can't do some of the things they did against Portland and get away with it with the Bucks.
Let's get to Mark, who is in Gary, Indiana. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Home of the Jackson 5. We just mentioned him. Yes.
First of all, I'd like to go ahead and give Bart a little bit of a pep talk. First of all, what I want to point out is that what's more important than losing Game 3 is that we don't lose our confidence. This is why you hear people talk about how, it took them two overtimes to beat us, even though we had three or four of our guys that are starters that didn't play well. Okay, so that confidence, if we lose that confidence, it can affect us the rest of the series, therefore also the rest of the playoffs, even if we do win this series. That's what I want you to keep your eye on the prize that way.
So, but I don't think the Bucks will lose their confidence. I'm not really losing my confidence. I just, they lost that game. I don't think that people, I think people think we can finish the series tonight.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna, but I don't want to take anything for granted. We got to go out there and take it. That's the key thing. But main thing is the reason why everybody keeps on saying, like, even like Sparky, on the big show, people like him keep on saying, well, it took them, two overtime wins, even though three or four of our starters didn't play well. Okay, well, it tells them that we still have confidence that we can win. So.
No, I get what you're saying. I still think the Bucks are going to win tonight. I'm not watching Bucks everybody else be so confident is like making me nervous.
Well, the Bucks.
It's like when you like a band and you're like, I like a band.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, I like a band. And I'm like, no, I'm the one that liked the band. You know what I'm trying to say?
Not in that area. I don't get that part, but I would say don't get swayed. I mean, if you think they're gonna I think they're gonna win tonight too. I don't think they're gonna win by 15, but I think they're going to go out there and play a strong game. And the guy who I think is going to play well for them, well, first of all, Giannis better play well for them. I'll be disappointed if he comes out and has a 12-point game. You know, at one point, he looked up at a scoreboard. on this, and the, you know, they run, they have a running total of the scores. Giannis at one point in the third quarter was the eighth highest scorer on the Milwaukee Bucks.
He didn't score for two straight quarters. No. Mid second to mid fourth.
I mean, what the heck? I'll say,
what the freak?
Yeah, what the hell, man? Two straight quarters. I mean, that's not the Greek freak. That's the freak of nature, man. That should not happen.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Man, he wasn't a freak on the court. That's for sure, man. He was the invisible freak that day. Two quarters. Ah, he was eighth in the team in scoring. The league MVP in a Game 3 Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, how does that happen? So, Giannis better step it up tonight, and I think he will.
Chuck and Winkler.
He don't need a pep talks. He's going to step it up.
Here on The Fan, tonight at Perkins, kids eat free after 4 o'clock. Remember, Tuesdays and Saturdays after 4, kids eat at no cost when you get a meal. You get a meal, order anything off their menu, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then the kid that you bring, hopefully it's yours, they get a free kids meal. You get a meal, they get a free meal. That's at Perkins Tuesdays and Saturdays. A lot of great items. You've had their great breakfast items, the skillets. You've had their great big juicy burgers. Try it with the strawberries now. They've got strawberries all over the place and some of their favorites. French toast, how about the fresh strawberry croissant French toast? New on the menu. The buttermilk pancakes, how about the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters? Not just for breakfast either. They've got the fresh strawberry salad, pulled chicken, fresh strawberries, glazed walnuts, feta cheese on the crisp garden greens. Check it all out. It's available for you at Perkins all throughout southeastern Wisconsin. More on the Bucks, more on the Raptors. Game 4 tonight. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Yeah, no doubt Chris has got his hands full. It's a tough cover. I think he's so locked in defensively. You know, the thing we'll bounce he and Malcolm back and forth between guarding Leonard. So hopefully, you know, Chris isn't bearing the entire brunt of that.
That's Coach Bud. He was asked yesterday if the defense that Middleton has to put on Kawhi Leonard leads to some negatives on the offensive end, because as we all know, Middleton, Bledsoe, Giannis, none of those guys shot very well in Game 3. We look for that to change tonight. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. At least I am. Freems is in Canada. What'd you end up doing yesterday? Anything fun?
No, I took a little nap in the afternoon. It was a busy day on Sunday. I was still recovering from that and getting up early in the flight and long day. So, no, I didn't do too much. I had to do some work here, get some stuff done, got ready for the show. You know, it's a working trip, my man. It is. It's
You didn't like go be a tourist at all?
I'm like 35 minutes away from all that downtown. No, I didn't go. The Uber rides down here are pretty expensive. Everything in Toronto is pretty expensive. So the airport is like, you know, 35 minutes away from the downtown. And by the time I got from a nap and I put together some reports and all that, it was too late today. Remember, we're an hour ahead of schedule here. So right now out here, it's 10 minutes to 9. So I get off the show at 11, so I'm already an hour behind.
Ryan Horvath's here. He is our producer, our old producer, Cody Grant, got a new job, and he is with you. He is in Canada. I saw him on Facebook. He went to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do anything like that?
No. He said he was going to the Hall of Fame. No, he's staying more towards downtown. And, you know, he didn't have a four-hour show he's got to do in the morning.
I also saw him. Did you guys see his Facebook at all? Because I saw him at the Bucks media conference wearing a Mavericks hat.
Saw that, yeah.
What was that?
What?
Yeah, he had a Mavericks hat on.
Said he's a big Dirk
fan. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? He went to the Bucks press conference.
You know what I was thinking, though?
He's
actually
a Mavericks hat.
Yeah. I thought about this, right? And I was like, what is he doing wearing that hat?
It
makes sense, though. Because, okay, you're walking around Toronto. And we've been taking shots at Toronto here in Milwaukee for like the past 2 weeks. He probably knows this. So he's going to the NHL Hall of Fame and everything by himself with nobody else, right?
Yeah.
So if he's wearing a Bucks hat, he's probably going to get jumped by those ruffians out in
Toronto. Wear a hat. Wear any other hat.
So he's like, hey, if I'm a Mavericks fan, I'm kind of neutral, so maybe I won't get beat up.
But if you go to cover the Bucks.
People look at you. You know, you walk in and you got a Mavericks hat on?
I'm not going to the Brewer game tomorrow wearing an Orioles shirt like Elaine Venice.
Oh, God.
Well, at least it's a Western Conference team. Like, if he showed up in a 76ers hat, it'd probably be an issue. But they're like, ah, the Mavericks, they're useless anyway.
This is where I miss Cody on the show, because we could ask him about it. He'd be like, oh, I didn't even know. I thought I just had my blue hat on.
We could get him on.
Then think about it, Frames.
I didn't even know. So, Bucks, game four against the Raptors tonight. We'll have Jim Paschke on in the 9 o'clock hour. Adam McKelvey's going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock. I then do still have the ultimate sort of rabbit or carrot on a string to present to you guys. I was talking a bit about a Mount Rushmore question I wanted to ask you. We're going to delay that, Chuck, until just a little bit after Adam McKelvey. So we're really going to stretch that out and make you guys wait to hear that one and tune in just after Adam McKelvey, because I've got a Bucks Mount Rushmore question for you that I've got to okay. know the answer to. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Did want to address this. I don't know if you saw yet Rob Demoski's tweet. Rob Demoski, ESPN. Packers safety Josh Jones is skipping the voluntary OTAs and working out in Florida because he's hoping to be traded.
It didn't sound like he was too happy with the team anyway last year. But, well. I don't know what, he's going to trade for what? What are the Packers going to get for him?
The source says the 2017 second-round pick believes it would be best for both parties if they parted ways. Mm-hmm. Story coming on ESPN shortly.
Do you even think of Josh Jones? What do you think of the Packers secondary?
No, he gets forgotten quite a bit.
Yeah, because you know what? Josh Jones controls that, though. He doesn't make us think of him because he's been a non-issue with the Packers. Non-issue. So he hasn't done anything really to even think of us. When we're talking about the defensive back rotation and safeties and all that, you don't think of Josh Jones.
No, and then they moved him at inside linebacker for a little bit, and we're going to have him play big there.
He's been disappointing.
And that didn't seem to work out. And then in the offseason, if you like Josh Jones, you don't spend a ton of money on Adrian Amos and then a first-round pick on Darnell Savage. If you like what you have in Josh Jones, you don't go out there and bring two new guys in to essentially play ahead of him.
Yeah. No. If they trade him, no big deal. It just means a second-round pick that was wasted.
Well, that's a shame. Yeah. And that's a Goody pick, right? That's a Gutekunst pick. So you know how he was burning all the Ted Thompson picks. That'd be a Goody pick that he would then lose out on. Hey,
speaking of Ted Thompson, my girlfriend Shannon, one of her best friends, bought Ted Thompson's house in Green Bay and said it was an old classic old man's house. Ted did nothing with his house when he was in Green Bay. Nothing. Didn't do any updates, paneling on the walls. It was your classic old man house for Ted.
Have you been inside yet?
No. But I've seen pictures.
So let me guess what the house looks like inside. There's certainly carpet everywhere, probably brown.
Plush.
Oh, plush. Okay. The walls, I'm imagining walls that are like up to maybe torso length. There's like brown paneling that runs up the sides.
Some of it, yeah, that has to be torn out.
And then above that's like some old terrible wallpaper that sort of looks like a pattern, but sort of not.
Put it this way. She's got a lot of updating to do on the house. A lot of projects.
The bathroom tile looks like the first tile that was ever invented.
I mean, it's got a lot of possibilities. It's just Ted obviously didn't spend a lot of time doing it. He's running the Green Bay Packers, so he didn't have a lot of time. So he lived in a house that just gradually got outdated over the years.
Can we do something there? You know the people that live there. Can we go and do something? Can we like do a video or do a show from there or flip it or something?
Flip it? Like, you mean go there and do work on it?
Like if you and I had a flip show.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ted is kind of
yesterday's. Chuck and Winkler flip this house or something?
Yeah, no, Ted is kind of yesterday's news anyway. I'm just saying his house was dated. He didn't spend any time working on it. It was an old man's house, a classic one that you might see in like West Dallas somewhere, where that family, those people have been living in there in years, never did anything, never tore out the carpet, Never did anything else. Panel walls that looked great in 1973. None of that. Ted didn't do anything to the house.
Are you going to get to go into it, though?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there'll be a housewarming. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there'll
be a video or something.
Yeah, I'll do some sort of video. It'll be a housewarming party, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Coming up here in the next couple of months.
Yeah, give us a tour. It's Chuck and Winkler. Chuck is in Canada. We're back here in Milwaukee. Game four tonight. Let's not forget about your Milwaukee Brewers.
Speaking about David.
It seems like
Canada.
Jimmy Nelson could be closer to returning. We'll talk to Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.